You know, some people read the Bible and when they read about the disciples, they think, well, those guys were like supermen. They weren't really human beings. They were just super beings because of everything they did. And I want to remind you this morning that they were people just like us. They were human beings just like us. The same emotions, desires, aspirations, needs and pains, pressures and temptations. They were people just like us. And so I think that's an encouragement to us because we can look at their example and learn some things from it. Now, this not my. I have actually 6 points this morning. I have 3 points to start out with by way of introduction, and then I get to my message where I have 3 more points. So you're sort of getting a double blessing for Father's Day today. But there's 3 similarities that I want to point out between us and the disciples this particular day that we read about. This was the day that Jesus took the 5 pieces of bread and the 2 fish. And he broke it and blessed it and fed a crowd of 5,000 men plus the women and the children that were there. The disciples were part of that. They were the ones that, after he preached and taught, actually passed out the food. And so I would point out to you, first of all, point number one, this was an important day in their life. Because their master, the one that they had devoted their life to, the one they had left their way of life for, had in a sense, worked a miracle. Well, not in a sense, but he had worked a miracle. And in a sense, had proven to the people for one of the first times that he was God. In fact, after this account, many of the people wanted to band together and make him king. And so that's one of the reasons he sent the disciples away. They wanted him to proclaim himself as king. They were looking for him to be king. And when these other people saw this miracle of the feeding of this crowd, they said, they're right, we need to make him king. So it was an important day in their life, in the ministry that they shared with Jesus. I would point out to you today that we share that with them. This is an important day in your life. This is the only day that we have for sure. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next day. For sure, I can tell you this is the first day of the rest of your life. And the decisions that you may make today, the choices you may make today, may affect the rest of your life. Now, I will also tell you it's an important day because it's Father's Day. And it's a day that we honor our dads. It's also a day that we as dads ought to think about the kind of dads that we are. So it was an important day for them. This is an important day for us. The second similarity I would point out as I lay the foundation for my message is that they had a goal. They were in a boat. They had finished this long day serving Jesus, serving other people. And Jesus said, hey, you guys go ahead. I'll disperse the crowd. You go ahead and get in the boat and head toward Capernaum. Head toward home. That's where they lived, most of them. So they were in this boat, and they were rowing, or they had the sails up. I'm not exactly sure which one. But they had a destination, a goal that they were trying to get to, the other side of the lake, home, their families, Capernaum. This morning, I submit to you that every single person here ought to have a goal of helping raise children to be God's children, helping raise children to be a child of God. Some here are parents. And you still have little ones at home. And so you still have a responsibility to those children in your home to raise them for God, to point them to God, to point them toward His Word, to point them to the Savior, to help them be everything that God wants them to be. Some of us don't have younger children at home, but we still have children. And I would tell you, as a mom and as a dad, and again, even though it's Father's Day, just like I did on Mother's Day, I'm preaching to both moms and dads. You may not have children at home, but as a mom and as a dad, you still have a responsibility to your children. You still have an influence on them. You may say, well, preacher, they don't listen to me very much. It doesn't matter. You still have an influence on them. You never know how much they're listening to you. You never know how much they're catching of what you're throwing their way. And you still have a responsibility, if your children are 6 or if they're 60, you still have a responsibility to point them to the Lord. And every one of us ought to have an objective that we're going to do our best to influence our children and our grandchildren You know, as grandpas and grandmas, we have influence with our, influence on our grandchildren, and we ought to have the same desires for them that we did for our children. We want them to live for the Lord. We want them to be everything that God intended and designed them to be. And we have a part in pushing them in that direction, in leading them that and that direction. And so every one of us should have a goal this morning to help raise a child for God. And then the third similarity I'd point out to you by way of introduction to lay the foundation for my message is that the disciples faced an obstacle to reach their goal. Their obstacle was a storm. The Bible says a great wind arose. And if they had their, and again, I don't think it was wind at their back. I think it was wind in their face. And so if they had to sail up, the wind would drive them in the opposite direction. So they had to pull the sail down. If they were rowing, they were rowing against the wind. That wind was trying to keep them from reaching their goal. That wind did not want them to reach the other side of the lake. If we have a goal, as we should, to raise children for God, there are some obstacles that try to get us to not reach that goal. The devil is one of those obstacles. He does not want you to raise your children for God. The devil wants your child to have nothing to do with God, nothing to do with his word, nothing to do with his son, nothing to do with salvation. If the devil had his way, your child wouldn't have one thing to do with God. And that's another reason I hate the devil. That's another reason I'd like to stop the devil. And I'd like to say like Billy Sunday, as long as I've got strength in my fist, I'm going to do everything I can to pound on the devil. As long as I've got strength in my feet, I'm going to do everything I can to kick the devil. As long as I got teeth in my mouth, I'm going to do everything I can to bite the devil. And when I'm old and have no strength in my hands and no strength in my feet and all my teeth fall out, I'm going to gum them for all I'm worth. The devil is an obstacle. The world is an obstacle. The world doesn't want us to raise our children for God. The world wants our children for themselves. The world wants our children to live by the world standards, not God's standards, and the two never meet. And if we're trying to raise our children for God, we have to fight obstacles, the devil and the world. Now, I want you to notice something. These men that night on this sea reached their goal. They made it to Capernaum. They made it to where they were going. And we can too. I want to use the example from this story this morning as I preach a sermon, how to raise a child for God. And if we're going to raise a child for God, we need to do the same three things that the disciples did this night on this boat in the middle of the storm that will help us achieve our goal of raising a child or influencing a child to live for God. Number one, so now I'm to my message. 3 points by way of introduction, 3-point message. Here, and I know a lot of you have plans for Father's Day. You got dinner reservations. I'm going to do my best to get us out here right on time, right at noon. Number one, if we're going to raise a child for God, we got to quit doing things our way. We got to decide that God knows more about it than we do. And we got to quit trying to, with using our wisdom and our strength to do it. We got to lean on God. Can you see with me the disciples that night in the middle of that storm? There were some of them that were seasoned fishermen. There were some of them that knew what to do in the middle of the storm. I can see Peter. He was the leader of disciples as he stood in the middle of that storm and barked out orders to all the other disciples. I can see Andrew, his brother, who was also a fisherman, and James and John, all fishermen, all been in storms before. And I can see them running around, doing what they needed to do to keep the boat afloat, doing what they needed to do to keep it going in the right direction. I can see some of the other disciples, like maybe Matthew, hanging over the rail and giving up the bread and the fish that he had enjoyed just a few hours before. I would be like him. But it wasn't until the disciple, and again, I can see Peter barking out orders, tote that bale, lift that thing, you know, tie up this rope. But it wasn't until the disciples quit trying to do it their way and looked to Jesus until they made any progress. And if we're going to raise our kids for God, we have to do the same thing. We have to realize that we don't know everything or much of anything. That God does know everything about what we need to do to raise our kids for God. And we'd be a whole lot better off submitting ourselves to Him, letting Him lead us, letting Him guide us, than we would doing our own thing. By the way, we ought to know how to do that, because that's exactly what we had to do when we got saved. We had to come to that point in our life where we had to admit, I don't know how to save myself. I don't know what I can do to pay for my sins. I don't know what I can do to make myself right with God. And it wasn't until we got ourselves lost and had no hope and realized there was nothing that we could do about it until we came to Jesus Christ. And we need to do the same thing when it comes to raising our kids. We need to go back to this book, and we need to go back to the God of this book, and we need to say, I don't know how to do it. I don't have the sufficiency to do it, but dear God, I believe that You do, and I'm giving myself to You. Help me to do it. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible says, I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. You see, if we're going to raise our children for God, one of the first things we need to do is teach them this book. The Bible talks about putting this book on the walls of the house, putting it on the doorpost of the door. In our day, it may be putting it on the refrigerator door. It may be putting it on the bathroom mirror. It may be putting it on places that your children or your grandchildren see when they come into your home. They need to know that you think this book is the most important book in the world, and the things in this book are the things that they need to base their life on. The Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible says, And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word nurture means chastening and punishment. That what children need to learn, and they're not learning it in a lot of homes today, but what children need to learn is that wrong is wrong, and there's a punishment for that wrong. Mom and dad need to model God's behavior to their children. Mom and dad need to teach them that there is a right, there is a wrong. If we do right, we'll be rewarded. If we do wrong, we'll be punished. And it needs to start from the time they're this little, and it needs to go on as long as you have influence on them. I can remember when I was 54 years old and I was about to get into something that I shouldn't have got into. I can remember my dad, just like it was yesterday, setting me down, putting his finger in my face, and he reasoned with me, and I listened to his reasoning. But the thing that got me was when he said, if you do this, you're going to disappoint me. And I did an about face. I changed my mind. I backed up. I said, Dad, I'd never want to do anything to disappoint you. He never stopped trying to teach me that there was right and there was wrong, and I needed to stay out of the wrong and stay in the right. And if we're going to raise a child for God, we need to back up and say, it's not my wisdom, it's not my strength, it's the wisdom of God, and it's the strength of God given in this book, and we're going to depend on Him. So if we're going to raise a child for God, we need to quit doing it our way. Number two, we need to look up and see Jesus. When the disciples quit doing it their way, they noticed somebody walking on the water toward them. They thought it was a ghost. They thought it was a spirit. Jesus cried out to them, It is I, be not afraid. They knew who the I was. It was the one that walked the Sea of Galilee and called them to be disciples. It was the one that came to their tax collection booth and called them to be disciples. It was the one that called them from their old way of life to a new way of life to serve Him. It was the one that they'd heard teach and preach. It was the one that they'd seen do miracles. It was the one who that very day had taken 5 small pieces of bread and 2 small fishes and fed a great crowd. It was the one who Peter would stand and say a little bit later, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We need to do the same thing. We need to quit depending on our wisdom. We need to quit depending on our strength. We need to look up and we need to see Jesus, the Son of God. By the way, that's exactly what you did when you got saved. What I'm asking you to do to raise a child for God is no different than what you did when you got saved. You had to quit doing things your way. You had to come to the point where you say, God, I have no idea how to get right with you. I have no idea what to do. There's nothing I can do to cover my sins, to make myself right with you. And we need to look up and see the Savior, the one that went to the cross, the one that bore our sin for us, the one that paid our price, the one that Lydia sang about a moment ago, whose blood formed that stream that we need to dip ourselves in and cleanse ourselves from all sin. We need to look up and we need to see Jesus. We need to know that He loves our children and our grandchildren more than we do. Now, it's hard for me to say that because I don't know how anybody could love. I mean, I can understand how somebody could love my kids more than I do, but I can't understand. I cannot understand how anybody could love my grandkids more than I do. But I want to tell you this morning, God does. God does. In fact, they're His. They're His. And I'll get to that in a minute on my third point. I'm about to get ahead of myself. But He loves them. He knows. He knows better by far than I do what's best for them. And I need to step back and say, I don't know. But Jesus, I know that you know. And then quickly, the third thing, they quit trying to do it themselves. They looked up, they saw Jesus. And then number three, it says, they received Him into the ship. And immediately, the ship was at the land whither they went. Now, some people read that verse and say, well, another miracle occurred. The moment that Jesus got in the ship, it just sort of picked itself up and was miraculously at the other side. I don't think it worked that way. I think when Jesus got in the boat and the storm was calmed, that the rest of the trip was so easy that the Apostle John didn't notice it. That when he went to write it down, he says, immediately we were there. The rest of the trip was such a contrast to the first part of the trip that it was such smooth sailing that he says he didn't even notice that time passed. But they let Him into the ship. They made Him the captain of the ship. They quit trying to do it their way. And they said, God, we're going to take our hands off the wheel. Jesus, we're going to take our hands off the wheel. We're going to take our hands off the sails. We're going to take our hands off the ropes. We're going to make you the captain of the ship. We're going to depend on you. Our life is in your hands. Get us to where we need to go. By the way, that's exactly what we need to do to raise our kids for God. It's exactly what you did when you got saved. I'm not asking you to do anything you've never done before if you're a Christian. It's exactly what you did when you got saved. You step back and say, God, I don't know anything to do to make myself right with you. I just don't know how to do it. And we look up and we see Jesus. And we say to Jesus, I'm giving it all to you. I'm depending on you to make me right with God. And He does through His death, burial, and resurrection. We need to do the same thing when it comes to our kids. We need to come with the acknowledgement that they are His. And we need to say, I'm giving them to you. Now, by the way, they're His already. He's just loaned them to us. They really belong to Him. You remember the story that's in the Bible, in the book of 1 Samuel? There was a man named Elkanah. He had two wives. One of them had children, the other, named Hannah, did not. Every year, this man and his family would go to the temple to worship. Every year, Hannah would beg God for a child. One time she was there, the priest, who was a man by the name of Eli, she was praying. He thought she was drunk because he saw her lips moving and heard no words. And he rebuked her, and she said, oh no, I'm not drunk. I'm poor in spirit. I'm praying for a child. I'm asking God to give me a child. And Eli said, well, I'll pray for you that God will answer that prayer. God did answer that prayer. There was a little boy born. His name was Samuel. When he was weaned, his mother Hannah brought him back to the temple and told Eli, I am that woman that prayed for this child. This child is an answer to my prayer, and I am giving him back to the Lord. And Samuel stayed, served Eli, and we know the rest of his story, how he became a prophet and was used by God in a mighty way. Let me ask you this morning as I close, have you done that to your children? Have you gone to God and said, they're yours? I'm giving them back to you. They were never mine in the first place. However you want to use them, whatever you want them to do is fine by me, because I know you love them more than I do, and I know the plans that you have for them are far better than any plan that might come up. Have you done that to your grandchildren? You see, too many times as parents and even as grandparents, and I'm not exactly there yet because mine are still real young, but I know if I don't watch myself, I will want to do this for my grandchildren as well. We want to help God direct their life. We want to help God tell them what they should be and what they should do. And instead of putting our will, trying to impose our will or our desires on their life, and again, no parent has evil desires for their children. I don't believe that. I believe they want their children to be a success. I believe they want their children to enjoy the good things of life. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But more than any of that, we should want our children in the will of God. We should want our grandchildren in the will of God. So many times we look at the things of the world and we say, well, I want my kids, I want my grandchildren to enjoy the things of the world. Why? They're all going to pass away. They're all going to not to amount to nothing after a certain number of years. But the things of God will last forever. They'll last forever. We need to come like Hannah. We need to come to God with our children and with our grandchildren and say, God, I understand they are yours. I'm giving them back to you. Even though I love them and I care about them greatly, I'm going to step back and take my hands off, because I know that the plans you have for them are far better than any plan I could make for them. And my influence is going to be used to direct them to you and to your word, to your church, to your will for their life. On this Father's Day, I can think of no better charge to give every father and to give every mother. Again, doesn't matter how old your children are. Doesn't matter if they're with you or if they're gone. You still have influence, and I can think of no better charge to give you than to do your best to raise them and to influence them for God. For God. This morning, if you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior, there's been enough of the gospel in my message so that you can understand that you're a sinner. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's a penalty for that sin. Wages of sin is death, separation from God. And when we step back and we realize there's nothing we can do for our sin, there's nothing we can do to pay the price of it, then we look to a Savior. And this morning, I want to remind you that the only one, the only Savior that will work is the Lord Jesus Christ. His death on Calvary paid the price of your sins. If you'll come to Him this morning, He will save you. And again, I can't think of a better day than Father's Day for those that are here that don't know Jesus to come and receive Him. Would you do that this morning? Would you just say, God, I'm giving myself to you. I cannot save myself. I cannot work my way to a right relationship with you. I'm depending on Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary to make me right. If you need to do that this morning, in just a second, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the examples that you give us in the Bible of what we need to be and how we need to conduct our life. I pray we would heed it this morning, that we would be the kind of dads and moms that you want us to be, that we would do our best, depending on you, to raise our children and our grandchildren, influence them for you, your word, your salvation. I pray that you would bless this time of invitation. I pray, Father, that you would just speak to people's hearts. They would listen and they would respond. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.